Linux.
Linux, huh?
Ubuntu.
What in particular?
Well, on that one that you helped me with, okay, that getting the...
driver back on there?
Yeah, okay. I have another one. My wife, I saw that my wife is going to buy groceries from Walmart. I said, well, try to order me a computer. She did.
Right.
I have this one. But let me tell you, the other one that I had came up with the same problem.
Okay.
And now what I did is went out and I saw that stuff, you know, the serial number. I just added the model number. And all of a sudden it comes right up to it and says, oh, this is a driver. Didn't have to enter the serial number or anything.
Just nice. Yeah, sometimes it can be really tricky.
Okay.
Like on Lenovo's website, that'll say, you know, network drivers, and then it'll be like, what's your serial number? And then you got to enter in the serial number.
I've seen that before, okay, but I didn't see it this time. Okay, once it did it in 1909, what happened, I got Ubuntu 2204.
Okay.
And I did an ISO to get a flash drive so I could install it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I installed it first on a HP Stream 13 232 gigabyte.
Yeah.
No Wi-Fi. But on the other hand, it worked fine with Ethernet.
Yeah.
And so, what do I do? Okay, so I started looking. And then what happened is, when I did the first install of Ubuntu and it didn't work, and I backed up into 1909,
mm-hmm.
okay, I decided, well, I did it with 2004. I'm going to do it this morning with 2204.
Yeah.
I installed 2204, no Wi-Fi.
Now, I want to ask real quick, are you connected via Ethernet when you're doing your Ubuntu installations?
No.
Okay. Because if you're connected to the Wi-Fi while you do your installation, then it's going to automatically download all the drivers you need for it. Whereas if you do an offline installation of Ubuntu and or any operating system or any Linux, they're not going to download the drivers. Therefore, you've got to go search them yourself.
Okay, and so you're saying I should hook that up to Ethernet and then do the install?
Yes.
Okay.
Because while it, you know how it shows the little screen with the tips and you can click the little arrows to see new tips and things like that, all that yada yada. At the bottom, you know how it has your downloading bar? You know how probably offline it goes a lot quicker, but when you plug it into your Ethernet cable and you're connected to Wi-Fi while you start the installation, you'll notice it take a little bit longer to download the Ubuntu operating system because it's pulling all those drivers from the internet.
That's the reason I stopped it. Let me give it a shot now.
Yeah, definitely something to do.
I have to get back on into Linux, and it takes me a while to, oh, that's the way I did this. But now I'm pretty much on to Linux, okay, on this project now, and... but okay, we'll do it. Thank you very much, Austin. Okay, yeah. Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And the software thing, it's almost out of control, you know, with all these guys changing it, you know, and oh, you do it this way. No, that doesn't work, you know. And when I was installing Arduino, which one do you have? Red Hat? You know, Debian? Oh, there's Ubuntu.
Yeah.
And so, but I have Arduino installed on, I have wireless going on four of the laptops, including wireless on the one that Ace gave me.
Yeah.
It's an HP Stream 13, but it's a 464 gigabyte.
Yeah.
And it has the 3060 processor on it. It's almost like an N4000.
Yeah.
But I now have four machines going wireless, and so I'm ready to go and see if I can get a RISC-V platform working on that and see if... No, that's a biggie.
Why do you hope that works out?
So do I.
Yeah.
But I'll give it a try, but I'll just go back and redo it and reinstall. But it wanted... Huh. Because some of them I did, and I definitely did not have... I have an example I just did. Mm-hmm. I installed Ubuntu on a Core i7, and okay. It's downstairs. No Wi-Fi, no Ethernet at all.
Right. Oh. Okay.
It is installed fine. Okay. It's doing wireless.
Huh.
Okay, and so there's a case where on the HP Stream 13, this is my $130 one from Office Depot.
Yeah.
Okay, it has issues just with the networking chip in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is not very good, and so if I'm downstairs, it says there's no Wi-Fi. You bring it upstairs, you know, get it right next to it. Oh yeah, now we see it. All this, but there's one downstairs. In fact, there's two downstairs. An Acer that did the same thing. I installed Ubuntu downstairs, no Wi-Fi, and it did put wireless on.
But the Ethernet was working with it?
No Ethernet. I don't have Ethernet downstairs.
That's interesting, actually.
Okay.
The fact that there's no Ethernet, like, I can understand why the Wi-Fi wouldn't be connected due to those driver issues, but for it to also not recognize the Ethernet port directly connected to the motherboard is interesting.
Well, I mean, there's no Ethernet downstairs, and so when I installed it, it had to do it all over, all off Wi-Fi, and it did. Well, okay, well, I'll give it a try and see what happens, but these things on computers, it's just getting more and more interesting, the articles I read and the layoffs.
Oh,
I just saw that Red Hat is laying off 800 employees today. It was out.
It's a lot of the issue with a lot of the software development firms and everything like that, and the companies that use a lot of software developers, is they hone their software engineers to one language or a stack of languages, and then the company sees a new release and they go, oh, now we want Python and JavaScript developers, not PHP and, another example of that, but Python, right? PHP and Python developers. We don't want these anymore, we want these. And so, for example, Twitter, they changed their entire coding stack.
That's what I understand.
And they laid off thousands of people. And it's sad to see. I mean,
yeah, no, it is. That's not why, fun to be without a job.
Yeah, that's why I'm going into the software engineering field, learning multiple stacks. Like, currently right now under my belt, I got JavaScript, HTML, CSS, React, JavaScript, Express JavaScript. I just finished learning a Python course. I'll be doing Swift. Yeah. In the incident that people decide to go over to the Swift language, which is mainly iOS development, stuff like that. And then I was thinking about learning, I forgot what the language is called, Kotlin for Android development as well.
Oh.
So I'm trying to learn a lot of stacks so I can be one of those employees that if a company decides to be like, yeah, come on board, and then 2 years later be like, we're no longer using this language, well, I could be like, whoa.
Yeah, no, you get laid off. Okay, I mean, it's not fun. And
actually, I have a cousin that's a software engineer who recently got laid off at RSI, Rural Source Solutions, or something like that. They're a coding firm who codes for other businesses who don't have in-house software engineering teams, and they recently changed a stack in his department, and he didn't know the stack, so they said bye-bye. And it's sad.
Yeah. That's what you say. I want to do something else for a living.
With software development, I mean, I didn't realize how intensive of a field it was going to be.
Yeah, you know? No. Also, the thing is, when these guys leave, then who's going to maintain that code that has bugs in it?
You that know, was written says,
well, hey, do you know anything about it? Yeah, but
and these companies can't afford to take down their websites and applications and programs for more than, what, 3 days, maybe a week tops? And it doesn't make sense that all these CEOs are saying, oh, new technologies, let's implement this, but they're not consulting their lead, you know, chief technology officers when it comes to these things. They're just thinking, what's good for business? What's pretty? What can we make pretty? And it ruins. I mean, I've seen companies close down simply because of changing their stack and their software.
Okay, well, thank you. We'll see you later.